On this episode of Bite Sized, we are watching and discussing the 31st scene of the movie Twilight. For those of you watching along at home, that is from 3824 to 4037. And now, on to the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Bite Sized. I'm your host, Ben Hebert. If this is your first show, here's what's going on. I am watching the movie Twilight, discussing it one scene at a time with a different guest every week. That means I send someone, one of my comedy friends, about 30 seconds to 3 minutes of the film Twilight. We watch it and discuss it with little to no other context. Not contests. We haven't had a contest yet. Speaking of guests, today's guest is a comedian, producer, future social worker, husband of a previous guest, maybe the first time that has happened, Keenan Camp. Nice.
Hello.
Welcome to Bite Sized.
Thank you.
How's it going?
It's good. I'm having a like an ADHD fixation moment. I'm
sure.
Gonna close this window.
Okay.
Because I'm already worried about like sirens.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you. For the listener, Keenan is struggling. There we go. He tried to close a window using only his fingertips.
It did not work.
And then he finally got up and put his whole body weight into it.
I do not have magical vampire fingertip strength.
No, Edward could have done that. He could have closed that
one
window with just his fingertips. That's as good a transition as we're ever going to get into what we're talking about today. Keenan, I'm going to start this episode the way I start every episode. That is by asking you, Keenan Camp, what is your history with the Twilight franchise?
I never got into Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I actually saw Twilight was a version with riff tracks.
Oh, yeah.
If you're familiar.
I think that's how I first saw it, too.
Yeah. And after that, I was like, okay, it was fun, but I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
I remember bits and pieces. I saw the musical, the Twilight musical. I have seen little chunks of it here and there, like either somebody would be watching it or just be on somewhere. So I've seen little things and I know a lot about some of the lore, but that's it. So I have seen the first one in a way.
Now, as previously alluded to, your wife, Jess Mull, has been a guest on an episode of this show before. Has she not made you watch it then?
No, she has not made me watch all of those. I think it's because I hadn't seen all of the Hunger Games movies.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I kind of want to watch those. Because at the time when they came out, I think I was very, there was still probably a little bit of like, I should have known better, but I was probably very a little misogynistic about it and was like, oh, I don't want to watch this teen girl action movie. And now that I'm a little older and a little wiser, I watched it and I was like, holy shit, this goes hard. So she's never made me jump into another trilogy after that.
Do you remember how you first found out? Like, when did Twilight first enter your world? It's worth noting, you are a few years older than my average guest. So when the first movie came out in 2008, well, that is to say, most people, when they talk about how they learned about Twilight for the first time, it usually involves the phrase, I was in high school
Was I in college?
The book came out in 2005. The first movie came out in 2008.
Okay, so I would have been in Chicago, probably right around the time the book came out.
Like, okay.
Would have just moved to Chicago.
After college? After high school?
So I was in, it would have been after a few years in college. I did not finish. And I moved to Chicago because I didn't finish. And
right.
Yeah.
So then how does Twilight enter your world?
So
through the internet, I'm guessing?
Sort of. I heard about the books, I think, just through passing.
Yeah.
But didn't really register it at all.
Yeah.
And then the movies just came out. So it was just really seeing the trailers and reading some stuff on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of things that I was like, okay, this does not sound like the movie for me.
Yeah.
These are not the vampires for me.
Because you were not a teenage girl.
I was not a teenage girl.
Right. That was basically my reaction to it. I was in high school when it came out, but I was like, I could clearly see that like this is not meant for me. I'm just not gonna do it. That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah. It was good enough to spawn a huge giant following. So
yeah. Clearly, there was something there.
Can't knock it.
Let's get into the scene. Start with a brief overview. Bella buys a book. She walks around for a while. I don't know how long. We'll talk about that in a second. Some guys find her and start harassing her. And then a car shows up. And who's that? It's Edward. And he drives away with her. Now we get into the nitty-gritty of the scene. My first note I'm immediately going to disagree with. Because I wrote down that Bella buys a book, and I thought it was weird that she paid cash. And then as we were talking about how long these things came out, I realized, well, I didn't have a card to pay with then. Of course I would have used cash to buy all my books from Barnes & Noble.
I thought the same thing, but I got to that in a weird way.
How so?
The man's face, like after she buys the book, he kind of looks at her and the money almost like he doesn't know what she's just given him. He looks a little confused.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, but that's, I feel like that's how people would react now to if you tried to pay with cash. Is that man's face is just looking like, oh, what? Okay.
Yeah.
Money.
It looks like he's handing her $13, or she's handing him $13, a 10 and a
for
few
a
ones.
Used book?
For used, I mean, you know.
Okay.
It's 2008.
Do you know what that book is about?
Yeah, it's about the Quileute people, the Native Americans.
I did look that up beforehand. I was like, I want to know that. I want to know what the actual book is.
Two scenes ago. I don't know if this is an actual book. I wasn't able to find that. I didn't really think to look.
It was taken from the Quileute like Wikipedia thing or like their website. Somebody apparently looked it up and was like, it was basically like the pages that they show were basically taken and printed from the website and just put into the book.
All right. That's a little lazy, but okay.
But hey, yeah. I was like, that's an interesting.
You could have found an actual book, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly at some point they did because it is like an actual book with like a Native American guy on the front, but that's about there's no identifiers there, which is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
She walks outside. It is twilight, appropriately enough. The sun is setting.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
It just occurred to me right now.
Yep.
And then it immediately cuts to like pitch black, like midnight, like hard cut for the light to change that much. She must have been walking around for a solid 20, 30 minutes.
It felt like a bad 80s movie cut where they were just ran out of light.
Yeah.
And they're like, but we got it. We don't have time. We don't have it in the budget to go another day. So we're just going to fuck continuity.
Right.
And we're just going to keep going.
Well, like they clearly want it to be dark and nighttime and scary because this is still the part of the movie where Twilight is trying to convince us that it's a horror movie.
Well, how long does it take for the sun to set? From Twilight time.
Yeah.
Because it was setting.
For sure.
So that could have been a couple, maybe just a couple minutes.
At the shortest, yeah. But to go from like still some daylight out to completely pitch black, I feel like takes a little while.
It would have been a walk, at least 20 minutes, I would say. At least, but they, you know, that makes sense. You got to go from like nice little bookstore area.
Yeah.
Like to, you know, the rough and tumble streets of what?
Port Angeles, Washington. Which is not that big. To get from any part of town to the other part of town would not take that long, I feel like.
Yeah, I need a map in front of me to understand exactly the full scope. But I feel like she had to walk from one area to another area and it wasn't like just around the corner.
It's just a hard, quick cut.
It's really quick. It's very jarring and it's all done just so we can get some silhouettes.
So we can get in
the smoke of an alley.
A scary, smoky, misty alley.
Yes. The entire feeling of the rest of this scene felt like it was taken from like an 80s action movie.
Yeah.
Like where there's a lady walking down the street, then.
To give listeners a peek behind the curtain a little bit, when I talked to you about being on the show, you had some specific requests, which were
horror or just 80s, like something.
I think
just
metal was a word that you used.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that could be like, and then the music as well in this scene.
Hey, what are you running to?
Oh, there she is. What's up?
If you have ever seen RoboCop,
yes,
he goes up to the guys that are on the street and trying to attack that woman.
Yeah.
And then he like shoots them in the dick.
Yeah.
Shoots the guy in the dick like between her dress.
Mm-hmm.
That is the vibe that this scene gave me.
Pretty much.
Is the vibe of that, of RoboCop pulling up and then stopping the bad guys and just, but Yeah, it's only if Edward Cullen would have like shot him in the dick.
Yeah, and if Port Angeles weren't such a small town, it would be easier to, because like for this one scene, Twilight turns into like New York.
Yes,
turns
absolutely.
Into, like,
yes.
The streets of Queens or
yes,
something.
It's alternate future Detroit.
Right. there's like all these alleyways
and ruffians,
and there's like. It what looks like steam coming up from subway grates, even though there are no subway grates.
Yes, that is pure sewage.
Yeah, it's just there's just like these fog effects coming in from nowhere that have no real origin.
The mists from the lake,
I guess, swooping through the alleys and weird blind stairways.
Yes,
that was also something I did not. Is like, where did all these stairways come from?
Yeah, that was the other thing, is they like she went into an alley.
Yeah.
It had like street urchins like hanging out like in rafters.
Yeah. And like, that was another
jump it like wait.
You're getting to something else. I also noticed and wanted to point out, which was these guys who eventually wind up surrounding and harassing her for a little too long. We could have cut some of that, Catherine. But like initially she's walking down the alley and like two guys come and block the end. And she sort of, with each turn, runs into like two or three more strategically placed guys.
Yes.
Until she's in a parking lot surrounded by like eight of them.
Yes.
As if they do this all the time. Like, as if they just sort of hang out in their predetermined spots.
Waiting
for someone so they could steal a wallet or worse or whatever. It was a little too convenient.
It was very convenient.
Yeah.
It also, they were high school boys. High school boys are awful. But I don't see them necessarily coordinating all of that.
Yeah,
that well. It just seemed, it seemed a little set up. It didn't.
Yes,
it didn't seem natural. I would have understood it more if they were all together from the beginning.
Right.
If it was like she was walking down an alley and it was all the teenage boys like drinking beer,
mm-hmm.
being assholes in the alley. That makes more sense.
It reminded me more than anything else of early human hunting tactics, obviously.
Yes.
The way that, like, you know, usually it would be done with more than one animal or person, but like hunting would happen, you know, typically happen in groups, and you would like chase an animal into a spot where it could not get out, and that is where you kill it so that it can't run away from you anymore. And you would have people like stationed at particular areas to make sure the animals go where you want them to. I'm sure that was everyone's first thought when they saw this movie.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
It was Stone Age hunting tactics.
Yeah, that's the best way to kill somebody if you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Right, Ben?
Well, yeah, and ideally, you know, if this was truly accurate to Stone Age hunting tactics, then obviously they would have some sort of bows or something, or maybe another common thing was they would sort of chase her until she ran off a cliff.
Yes.
And then go down to the bottom of the cliff to collect, you know, whatever she had. So she gets guided, not off a cliff, but to like a parking lot that is outside of a bar.
The
or
parking
maybe
lot
a boat.
Kind of appears like the actual like layout of that area of how it becomes an alley. And then there it is blocked by rafters and stairs.
Like stairs. And there's a guy on top of those stairs.
Yeah.
Which sort of, to me, confirms my they do this a lot theory.
Yeah. And it seems like she would have had to be walking and it was there. So the parking lot would have to be to her right.
Yeah.
And I would have to be like, yeah. So that's the only way, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. One guy throws another guy a beer. That beer is for sure going to explode when he opens it.
Oh, yeah. You know, no. Yeah. Anybody throws me a beer, I'm so mad.
No, like I would not want that.
Yeah. Unless I ask for it. Unless I'm like, hey, I am far away.
Right.
Throw me a beer.
Can you toss me that beer, please?
Yeah.
And I will open it far away from myself.
I will do the tappa-tappa and the twista-twista.
Definitely. Definitely fewer beers than there are people. This is not a very well thought out group.
That's one beer.
I feel like the guy pulls it from like a ring, a six pack, you know?
Yeah, but there's six dudes, I think.
Okay.
Like at least four.
Maybe you're right.
Nobody's going to get equals. They're going to have to do sharesies.
Well, and if one explodes, then there's one less beer.
These boys are douchebags, and they come off as douchebags.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Criminals, even.
Criminals.
Yeah.
Well, even the line that the dude says to Edward when he pulls up.
A car pulls up. And
worst car.
It's with Volvo.
It is the least intimidating car to pull in like that.
Right.
To Tokyo kind of drift into the parking lot in a Volvo.
For some reason, I think this is in the books. that Edward drives specifically a Volvo. And I don't know why.
To like keep a low profile, maybe?
No, there's no way.
It's like if you drive a cool car, everybody's gonna know you're a vampire.
But like specifically a Swedish car, that's gonna stand out.
There's an understated beauty. And there's keeping what's most important to you safe. There's more to life than a Volvo. That's why you drive one. Visit whatdrivesedward.com and play for a chance to win your very own Volvo XC60. For a limited time, you can enter our sweepstakes for the chance to win a trip and two tickets to the premiere of The Twilight Saga, New Moon.
My question is just, how did Stephanie Meyer, in the early days of the internet even, come to decide on that as the cool car that your hero would drive?
Maybe that's the car she wrote. And was like, everybody makes fun of my Volvo.
He pulls into the parking lot at what I would describe as kind of fast.
Yes.
And he gets out.
Get in the car.
And one of them says,
that was a very dangerous maneuver.
That was a very dangerous maneuver.
In a decent kind of drunk voice, yeah. I gotta say. As fake drunk voices go, this one was not too shabby.
It was fine. His eyes, I believed more. Mm-hmm. It was good. That was the line that tickled me.
Yeah.
Though it was like, great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all right.
That was a very dangerous maneuver.
I mean, it was not. When you're drunk like that, maneuver seems like a very cool word to say.
That's fair.
I got to say, though, it was not a really dangerous maneuver.
It was not. He just turned fast.
Right. He just skidded a little bit and got kind of close to the guys.
In a very open parking lot.
Right.
Yeah. And in a Volvo.
Right.
That might have been why it was dangerous, because I feel like maybe that could have immediately flipped a Volvo.
There's more to life than a Volvo. There's what you can expect. Being kissed. Desired. Loved. Missed. Then there's everything you can't expect, but being ready for it. That's why you drive one. Play for your chance to win a Volvo XC60 at volvocars.com/lostinforks and see The Twilight Saga, Eclipse, in theaters now.
The guy says, that was a very dangerous maneuver.
Yeah.
And then Edward looks at him. Did something go on with his eyes? Like, what scared him? Did he growl? Because I watched it a few times and I was like, I don't really understand the subtlety of what has occurred to make this man suddenly back down.
There really is nothing other than maybe Edward being slightly taller than him and like not scared, like not showing any fear that he's outnumbered.
Yeah.
You know, but you think that like you're right in that. The guys just immediately collapse. They fold like a house of cards.
Yes.
They don't even, like, you know, try to get him to flinch or anything. They don't try to surround him. They just see this one guy show up.
In a Volvo.
Right. Step out and do and say nothing and then just are immediately running away.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a fight. And what I've been told by my wife is that in the book that it is a... It seems like a much more dire scene. Like when they write it out, it sounds more like it's meant to be more like kind of scary and thrilling. And she was like, but then when, you read it and when you then see it on screen, it's basically the same thing of what happens in the book. So it's actually not that thrilling.
Yeah. And like, I'm sure there's probably, you know, a little bit of difference between what you can get away with writing in a book and what you can get with writing in a movie, because the visuals are going to make it scarier no matter what.
Yeah.
It does kind of feel like it's missing something. Like, even if he just like hits one of the guys.
Yeah, or like a little, like a little, like just a little flick, like a vampire flick of the nose.
Right. And like we don't, it hasn't been confirmed that he's a vampire yet.
That's true. So we can't. Okay.
Like so far, the only vampire-y thing he's done is when he runs across the parking lot and stops the van with a bare hand that's about to crush Bella.
Gotcha.
And so like, he doesn't start doing vampire-y stuff until she confronts him about it later on in the movie. But even like, I don't know.
Oh, and she does the say it.
Yeah, yeah, that one. You know what I'm talking about.
I remember that.
Big Twilight fan over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just would have been nice to just give us a, maybe another little breadcrumb, or at least make the scene a little more interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seemed like a build-up of using, like, the potential for, like, assault.
Yeah.
There's nothing that actually, like, came of that scene.
Right.
Like, it didn't serve anything.
Yeah.
Right. Other than to like, and because I was also wondering, how fast was he able to get into his car and drive?
That's the greater purpose of the scene that we haven't gotten to in the movie yet.
Okay.
Is that all these things that you're wondering right now about?
Yes.
How did he get there? How did he know where to go? Is basically her next question. There's a scene coming up that we haven't gotten to yet. That's just the two of them being like. Her asking him, how did you do that? Were you like following me? What the hell happened here?
It would take him longer to drive to her than it would take him to be vampire.
That's
to
another,
like vampire run to her,
yes.
Right? Let's, so he had to like get into his car.
Uh-huh.
Like, and also, how long was she in danger for?
Right. Like, right? Why didn't he get in there sooner?
Why didn't he get there sooner? Why didn't he run there?
I can tell you the drive from Forks to Port Angeles, it's not short. It's like 30, 40 minutes, if I recall correctly, from when I did it 3 years ago, so I could be wrong.
So
clearly he had to be in the area already.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he was already stalking. Does he say that as much? Or is he like, I was stalking you?
I kinda, yeah. I think the explanation that he gives is that like he feels compelled to protect her. And so he doesn't necessarily stalk her. He just sort of keeps her within range so that if and when something does go wrong, he can step in, which is red flag behavior.
That sounds really rough. I was going to say, that sounds like I'm just going to be like in town.
You won't be able to see or hear me, but I'll be keeping
I'll
an
be
eye
there.
On you. Kids, this comes up a lot on the show, but if you are dating someone that says that to you, don't.
No, it's not hot.
It's not. It's dangerous. It's usually he's not a vampire. He's a problem. She gets in the car. They drive away. He does an actual dangerous maneuver.
Yes.
By pulling into traffic without looking both ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a Volvo.
Yeah. I guess there's some argument to be made that his vampire speed gives him like super fast reaction time. And
it's
still a
fucking car. It's not a vampire car.
Right.
The car has faster reaction times.
Like, right.
Even if he has a fast, like I can see like this thing starting to swerve at me.
Yeah.
The car can't like move magically
and
faster.
Like, but and also you're really hoping that the driver that you're cutting off hits the brakes in time and doesn't rear end you.
Yeah. He doesn't have a magical like stalker connection with the driver of that car.
No. To jump back just a little bit to what we're talking about, I think one of the reasons he doesn't, he drives instead of vampiring around everywhere. Well, two reasons. First of all, it's probably easier. You probably get tired. You just want to sit down.
Yeah,
and drive.
I guess it would be like, it'd be obvious if he just
in the
vampired
event that
in.
He does have to get her out of there. It would make more sense to put her in a car. She's not going to ask as many questions about that as if you just started carrying her and running around. Like he does later on.
That's fair. That's fair. But still.
He's got some cover.
What if he couldn't find his keys?
And you know, that's a great question. Then I guess he would have no choice but to run around.
Yeah. Or if he was like me, then he would be very late because he would be looking for his keys.
Is that what happened to you today?
No.
Or just in general?
Just in general. I will often be like, I got to get there fast. I need to find my keys or else I'm going to have to figure out a different mode of transportation.
Yeah.
But then I spend too much time looking for my keys. And by the time I find them, I'm still going to have to take a different form of transportation.
And that's a problem you wouldn't have if you were a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had to give this scene a name, what would it be? And this is going to be the name of the episode. So make it good. And hopefully you told me you listened to an episode. So hopefully you listened all the way to the end and knew this was coming.
Oh, I
this is one of those moments I warned you about in which I would be putting you on the spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you.
You look very pleased with yourself. I just want to, I want the listener to be as hyped for this as I am.
I'm going to give you.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to give you an option. And this is
here
only funny to me and maybe my the boomers.
Okay.
Alley oops.
Alley oops.
Or,
okay.
Or.
Or.
Hey, you. get into my car.
Get into.
Oh.
Now, what was that?
That was get out of my dreams.
Oh, get out of my dreams and into my car. Okay.
What about that? That might be better.
Get out of my dreams and into my car.
Get out of my dreams and into my car.
Okay. Do you want to keep alley-oops in there in any way?
Do you like alley-oops?
This is your decision. This is, as I've told past guests before.
Then look me in the eyes and tell me.
No, I'm not allowed to have a say in this because as I told my guest a couple episodes ago, the reason I started asking my guests to name the episode is because I was too lazy to do it myself. And I thought, I'll make my guests do it so it's a fun joke and less work for me. And now whatever my guest tells me to do, I'm honor bound to stick with. So whatever you tell me to name it is going to be the name.
That scene from RoboCop where he shoots the guy in the dick.
That scene from RoboCop where he shoots the guy in the dick. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
I gave you so many options.
No, you did.
I did.
Not my choice is the thing. You're acting as if I turned those down.
You did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I asked if you wanted to. You kept making changes, and I asked if you wanted to make one change, and you decided I had rejected your gift. And now you've done this to me.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to stick with it.
Okay. Great. Hopefully, my various podcast streaming platforms, Spotify and Apple and YouTube and won't throttle me for having dick in the title. I think I'll be fine.
I think you'd be
fine. I'm not the first podcast to do that.
Yeah, and you could also, use an asterisk.
Sure.
Instead of an I.
Honestly, and we're pushing the bounds of how long a podcast title can be at this point, so I may have to cut a few words.
Yeah, and if it's not that, then go with alley-oops.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
If it's too long, go with alley-oops.
Listener, by the time this hits the airwaves, you know what it will be called. Keenan Camp, if people like the sound of your voice and the cut of your jib, where can they follow you on social media and maybe see you do shows in person?
You can follow Riff Improv or Riff Chicago's Music Improv Party at Riff Improv on Instagram and on Facebook and on TikTok. That's my baby. We do musical improv. You do that show with
me.
Yeah,
I'm in that show.
Yeah, it's a wonderful show.
It's a good time.
By the time this gets out, we might be on a break. But,
by the time this gets out, we'll have two more shows at Second City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So quick turnaround. All right.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Editor Ben.
Wonderful. Come on out to Second City, 10 o'clock on Saturdays, the next two Saturdays. That would be the 20th, 420, and the 27th.
Mm-hmm. Neither of us will be there, but you can go see it.
You can go see it. Well, yeah, on the 20th. Well, I'll be there on the 27th, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I won't.
You can also go check out Lost Realms, improvised musicals from beyond. That is at Otherworld Theater, and that's at Lost Realms Improv on Instagram. If you have a neurodivergent young adult that might need help transitioning to independent living, you can also get a hold of me.
Just drop it off on Keenan's doorstep.
Yeah, yeah. You just, that's what I do also outside of comedy.
Put your child in a basket and put that basket in the river. It will float its way down to Keenan.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
And I will teach it the proper way to load a dishwasher.
And improv.
Yeah, and improv.
Cool. That is it. If you want to follow the show on social media, you can do so at BiteSizedPod_ on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. TikTok and YouTube are getting pretty active right now. I am uploading 60-ish second clips, some of my favorite moments from the show, and I've included pictures so that if we're ever talking about a thing on this audio medium, you can finally see what it is we're talking about. You can also email the show if you want to send an email to myfavoritetwilightpodcast@gmail.com to be part of the conversation. We've also got merch. For the very first time, I'm selling stickers for $2. It's the logo of the show. Message the show on social media or send an email to myfavoritetwilightpodcast@gmail.com for more information on how to acquire one of those. Thank you to the band Swimwear Department for letting me use their song Mauled to Death as our theme. Thank you. You would really like Swimwear Department. Yeah, we'll talk about this later.
Okay.
Thank you to my editor, Ben Oxshire, for editing this, especially
Ben
on such
Oxshire.
A tight turnaround. That is it. That is all we have for today's episode of Bite Size. As we always say at the end of every episode,
bite me.
Bite me. See you next time.
Play Journey to the Wedding for your chance to win the Volvo S60 T6R design or a trip for two to Rio de Janeiro. Go to facebook.com/VolvoCarSouthAfrica to get started. The Twilight Saga: Breaking Dawn Part 1 in cinemas 16 November.